All right. For our first song this morning, we'll be using our chorus books, and then following that, all the rest of the songs will be from the hymn book. Song number 73 in the chorus book. If you're able to stand, let's do some. Song number 73. Now, song number 421. 421.
Wonderful words of love.
3 birthdays this week, Craig Helley, Jane Sigler, and Chris Kogel. So let's sing happy birthday to each one of them. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. God bless you and keep you. Happy birthday to you. All right. And the last thing for me for the moment anyway is there is the offering basket in the back. We want to thank Brother Pinto for being with us today. And if you would like to contribute to a special love offering for him, the basket's there in the back, so you can do so.
Pastor. The only announcement, other announcement I have is that we have the new members list over here. So if you'd like to grab one, if any man grab one yet.
So this has all the phone numbers and everything in there for the church directory. Also, there's a card over there for Emma Grace. The young girl that is the mayor's granddaughter, thank the Lord, she's doing better. She's back home. I believe God answered prayers for that. And just pray that it doesn't happen again, that her heart won't stop beating. And if there is an issue there, that the doctors will be able to find it. But we got a card up here for her. So if you'd like to come up and sign it for her, Lord willing, I'll try to get that mailed off to her this week. And then Lord willing, as well, we'll try to do the public outreach again this Thursday if we don't get rained out. 2 weeks in a row, we had some bad thunderstorms on Thursday night, so hopefully there will be no bad thunderstorms this coming Thursday night, but from 6 to 7, we'll try to meet out there up front in Pine Street. If you can't make it, just maybe you could pray for us from 6 to 7 that God would just deal with souls, and maybe we could hand out some tracts, and people would just read those scripture signs and just think about where they'll spend eternity. Also, there's some 3 prayer requests I'd like to bring up. Just continue to pray for the Koval son, Derek. Just the struggle he's dealing with being diagnosed with ALS. Keep him in prayer. Keep his children in prayer. Keep his wife in prayer. And keep his parents in prayer. Brother Joe and Sister Chris, I know they're going through it. So I just ask that you lift them up in prayer, that God would just comfort and provide help there. Also pray for Brother Les. Continue to pray for him and Sister Nancy. I don't know if they're watching this morning. I know they've been watching the services. So, Brother, if you're watching, we love you. We're praying for you. And then also keep Sister Jane's dad in prayer. He had some heart issues again, that God would just continue to help him recover from what he's dealing with. That's all I got this evening, this morning.
Okay. Blue hymn book 482.
Lord, have mercy, Jesus, Lord, I know, for His grace to mother show.
595 in the blue hymn book. If you're able to stand, let's do so as we sing this song. 595.
Now Jesus. I believe that this life with its great mysteries, surely someday will come to an end. But faith will conquer the darkness and death, and at last they will lead to my Lord. I believe in a hill called Mount Calvary.
Special, this verse come to my mind in Psalm chapter 8, verse number 3, says, "When I consider the heavens, the work of thy fingers, the moon and the stars which thou hast ordained, what is man that thou art mindful of him, and the son of man that thou visit him?" Where else are you going to go? Where else can you go? You know, when the trials, temptations, afflictions, things that overwhelm us, things that almost try to consume us, where else can we go but to the cross, to the Lord Jesus, to find help in a time of need? And as you go there, it just blows my David's saying, "What is man that thou art mindful of him, and the son of man that thou visit him?" That God would even look upon me, look upon you, and give us eternal life. What a God we serve. Amen. It's a blessing this morning to be in church. It's an honor and a blessing to have brother Pinto with us this morning. I'm looking forward to what he's got to preach, and that God would just meet with us. And Brother Pinto, you come on up, brother. Appreciate you being here.
Thank you, Richard. Thank you so much. Can you hear me?
Am I on?
Okay, I just want to make sure. I'm not good with modern technology. Sometimes I mess things up for somehow. But thank you so much, preacher, and I am so excited to be back. I know it's been a while. I'm thankful for what the Lord is doing and what he has already done here. And we knew that God had his man for this church, and God has brought him here, and I'm thankful that he's here, and I'm sure you are. And so what a blessing. What a blessing to be with God's people this morning. Some of you may not know me. I'm Brother Raul Pinto. I am an evangelist with La Espada Ministries. La Espada is translated the sword in English. It is a ministry that was started really 45 probably plus years ago at this point. Roland Garlick was a Texan who was a missionary in Central America. He had a burden to reach Spanish people, and that burden really extended to the whole Spanish-speaking world, as it turned out. Back in the 60s and 70s, he was seeing what John R. Rice was doing. How many of you know the name John R. Rice? Okay. He was having conferences on revival and soul winning throughout the country. And Brother Roland Garlick wanted to see something similar in the Spanish-speaking world. And so by faith, the Lord spoke to him to start this ministry that didn't exist. And by faith, he started it with having small groups, having English pastors come, preach, challenge those that would come to the conferences, and the Lord began to work and use his word, and people were saved, and people surrendered to full-time Christian work, pastors, future pastors, which today, now, some of those men are pastoring probably some of the largest fundamental Bible-believing Baptist churches in the Spanish-speaking world. God is using those men who have surrendered to the call, and to God be the glory. It was all really because one man said, here I am, Lord, use me. Don't know how it's going to happen. Don't know how it's going to get done. But there's a need, and you're laying it upon my heart to meet that need. And so from that point on, that the ministry of La Espada focused on helping local churches do the work of the ministry, Ephesians 4. Evangelists are given to the local church to help mature the saints. That's you for the work of the ministry. That's reaching people for Christ. We think, oh, an evangelist. Well, they just go out and evangelize. They go out soul winning. Well, no, evangelists do what all believers should do, and that is to go out soul winning, tell people about Jesus. But the Bible specifically says that the evangelist is given to the church, as pastors are given to the church, to mature us, to grow us in the Lord, so that we would go out and do the work of the ministry, making disciples. And so that's our ministry. We want to assist. We want to give resources to help. Yes, even English-speaking churches reach the Spanish. I was talking about this to a brother, a good friend of mine and brother in the Lord yesterday, and the need. I just came from the Sevierville Pigeon Forge area. They're just north of the Smoky Mountains, and it's packed. Believe me, it's, people are taking advantage of this year. And they're packing the place out. They're coming from everywhere. But you know, one of the things I noticed, and one of the things that that brother was telling me about, was the need to reach Spanish people. I waited for an hour to get into the Old Mill restaurant. And it was like, okay, do I really want to wait an hour and 15 minutes? But I said, well, you know, I can go to, you know, I can crack the barrel anywhere. But, the Old Mill, okay, this is kind of local. This is kind of, you know, part of the town here has a history. So, yeah, okay, I waited. And but when I got in there and I got into that packed restaurant and it was buzzing, they were delivering those plates to all these tables. Guess who was doing all that? I was watching this line of Spanish men and women as they were going up to the kitchen and they were taking those plates and they were running through the restaurant, getting the food out. And I thought, who's going to get the gospel to these Spanish-speaking people? I spoke to in a Spanish-speaking church in north of Knoxville last Sunday morning. And this pastor has such a heart to reach the Spanish-speaking people that he started another church. Okay, so he's pastoring two churches. He started another church an hour south in Sevierville. Okay, and there's a need there. The Spanish demographic has grown. It continues to grow. And the need is great. It is our responsibility, church, to reach all demographics, okay? All languages, all colors, all cultures, okay? We are becoming, whether you're comfortable with that or not, we are becoming a cosmopolitan nation. And God is bringing the world here, okay? So that we can reach the world here. We don't have to, you know, raise money to be missionaries to go out. They're coming here. So let's get the gospel out. And that's what we want to challenge our churches. And we challenge our Spanish-speaking churches, by the way, to reach English-speaking people. They need to have an English-speaking department in their church, okay? Because our churches need to be reaching everybody. And if you have Filipinos, reach the Filipinos. If you have, you know, Chinese, reach the Chinese. I was in Hawaii to visit my half brother about a month and a half ago, and it was good to be in a church where there's a need to reach the Chinese in Honolulu. So they have a Chinese speaking service. Why? Because it's their job. It's our job to reach all demographics. So that's what the philosophy of ministry is. And so we're in the spirit and in the philosophy of John R. Rice doing what he did in challenging churches. We'll have conferences. They will involve, sometimes hundreds of churches that will come to a regional conference where we'll challenge them. At night, we'll have services lasting probably 2.5 hours. We're preaching, singing, praying. Asking God to work in hearts, and God does. And I had the privilege of being a part of this ministry now for almost 8 years, 9 years. That ministry had impacted our small ministry in Connecticut. I was a Spanish pastor in Connecticut for probably 15 plus years. Had the opportunity and the privilege to see God do a work there. That ministry is now an independent Spanish-speaking Baptist church in Wallingford, Connecticut. And I'm so thankful and praising God for what he did through all those years of planting, sowing, watering. And so God, the Lord Jesus Christ wants to build his church. He's still in the church building business. Okay. I know it's the 21st century and we're talking about, you know, all of the things that are going on with the pandemic and all of that. Oh, Brother Pinto, you know, it's all this stuff's going on. What are we going to do? What are we going to do about, the politics and all of this stuff? What are we going to do? It's what we've always been told to do. Go and preach the gospel to every creature. It's not changed, okay? And by the way, it's been bad before. I know we Americans can't believe it's been this bad before, but in the world, it has been this bad before. There have been pandemics in the past. There have been earthquakes and pestilences and all of the things that we're facing. But the difference is that we Americans are dealing with it now more so than ever. And so we think it's the end of the world because the United States is having to put up with all this stuff. Well, brothers and sisters, we've been pampered. Yeah. We've been comfortable. Yeah. We've not had to suffer like other parts of the world. And so now when it comes to us, we think it's like, whoa, Jesus might come any minute now because we have COVID. Yeah. Well, Jesus might come regardless of COVID any minute, whether, there's a pandemic or not. The thing is, brothers and sisters, let's get back to the book. Let's get back to doing what we know to do. That's what we need to be doing now more than ever. So much the more, right? So much the more as you see the day approaching. So I want to encourage you. You've got the man of God here. This church is the light in this area of Pennsylvania. Let shine as bright as you can while we have opportunity. So our ministry is that. It's an evangelistic ministry. And if you have any further questions, I'd be glad to take those. My table's back there. I've got the new prayer cards now. So so the mug is the mug there that you see on there could scare more and more flies than it did the old one did. So seriously, pray for me. Take that card and pray for me. Pray for us. If you would pray for the garlic family, okay? Garlic. How many ladies cook with garlic? Okay, so whenever you go to the kitchen, you cook with garlic. Okay, remember, pray for the garlic family. Okay, Teresa has been without her husband for a little bit over a year. So it's still fresh, I'm sure, in her heart. Her two boys are taking on the baton, Ben and Jonathan. They have taken the baton from their dad. Their dad went to heaven at 61 years of age. None of us in the team, we were last year. This happened last year. He went to be with the Lord after about a year battling with pancreatic cancer. We were all kind of like deer in the headlights. Okay. We just didn't know, and then on top of that, COVID. So basically our ministry came to a halt because we would have conferences, for example, Managua, Nicaragua. I've been with Brother Dan at a couple of conferences when it was financially possible. We would have In the capital of Managua, we'd have 1,000 people coming every night, okay, to our conferences. Praise the Lord. And as if any of you that have been to Central America or anywhere really outside of the States, and you've been to that part of the world, they come in buses, cars, minivans that you thought didn't exist anymore, okay? Vehicles that were put out of service years ago, they're still running, okay? You want to know what happened to all the yellow school buses that we reject in this country? Well, they're in Mexico, okay? They're picking up people. They're public transportation. And there's no limit. No, there's no limit as to how many people they can put in a bus. And so this is the way they come. This is the way they've been coming to our conferences. So they come on foot. They come in cars. They're packed because they're hungry. There's a hunger and a thirst for the word. And so we, no social distancing, okay? We pack them in, okay? So they're in there, and we're glad, but we can't do that right now, okay? So if you'll pray that the Lord will reopen those doors. I talked to a pastor friend of mine via Facebook regarding the situation in Mexico. I said, how are things going? He said, it's pretty bad still. So pray that the Lord will open those doors back up. We want to be back in challenging pastors. These pastors are coming to our conferences hungry. They don't understand the teaching or never probably been exposed to the fact that that churches need to be proactively reaching people for Christ. And we challenge them with that, and we give them the Bible teaching, and then we give them some tools to help them go back to their churches and challenge their people to go out, knock on doors, pass out tracts, bring them, see them saved, bring them in, disciple them. And so those things are the things that we do in our major conferences. We had a session, I'll never forget this preacher. We had a session there in Nicaragua, and the hotels there are smaller, and the conference rooms are smaller. And so we had a conference room set up for the pastors. This is just pastors, okay? And Brother Dan, of course, was going to teach them how to have their churches more effectively reach their areas for Christ. So, you know, we encouraged them the night before, pastors, you need to come to these sessions. And so the next day, we had the room set up, and we had as many chairs put in that conference room as possible. It was small. And so we had everything set up, and then here come the pastors. Brother Dan starts the session. Here comes more pastors. Then here comes more pastors. And then here comes more pastors. And I usually do sit in, you know, as the session is being given, and I try to sit in the back, give the pastors the chairs to come up, sit up front, and they were filling towards the back. And then before I knew it, I said, you know what? I need to give up my seat. So I give up my seat, and more pastors come in, and then, okay, so I'll stand by the wall, and, oh, more pastors come in. So I'm working my way out the door, and then I realized, you know what? I need to get out so that a couple more pastors can get in. 90 pastors came to the session, and they were challenged, and we're praising God for the fact that we had the opportunity to see 90 pastors with a desire to be better at getting their churches to be more proactive in getting the gospel out. And so that's what our ministry is all about. So I hope you understand. There's much more I could say, but I want to give the rest of the time the word. But again, pray for us. Brother Dan had that desire to do the work of the ministry as an evangelist until the very day the Lord took him home. He was about this, a little taller than I was, and if you'll see some of the pictures in the back, he was a stocky, big guy. And it was difficult to see him lose all that weight because of the treatments that he had. He had 4 treatments, chemo, radiation, and that last treatment was really, really pretty strong. They found a tumor the size of a tennis ball. Really intertwined in the pancreas, and there's just no way that they could remove it without shrinking it. They were not able to affect the much shrinkage of it, and so eventually they were not able to do much more. So he had the spirit of peace on him, preacher. And so what his desire was is to see us kind of take the baton and keep going with the work of the ministry. So pray for Lot Espada. Pray for me. What I've been doing basically is I've expanded my ministry to bilingual ministry. I do preach in churches that speak English as well as Spanish. And so I basically focused on New England. New England's where I grew up. And so I've been able to fill in pulpits and help in music, preaching, any way that God would open doors or pastors would need me. And so I continue to do that because we're not sure that this year is going to be much better for our ministry as a whole. So my job has been really to help be a help in my local church when I'm home and to help local churches, help pastors mature the saints for the work of the ministry. And so I am humbled by that. I am humbled by the opportunity, and I'm thankful to the Lord for that opportunity. And so I'm also trying to raise my support. I have about 75-80% of it raised, and I'd like to raise that last 20 so that I can, again, be freed enough so that hopefully when the doors will open again, I can just go ahead and travel with the team And so if you'll pray about that as well. Let's go to the Word of God this morning, Luke. Hope you have your Bibles this morning. Want to encourage you to look on with someone if you do not have a Bible. Luke chapter number 5. Luke chapter number 5. We're actually going to go to chapter 4 a little bit and then go into chapter 5. I'm trying to catch the story here as we go. Luke chapter number 4. We'll go there first and then we'll go into 5. But let's go into the last part of it. Luke 4 and verse number 40. Luke chapter number 4 and verse number 40. Father, thank you for these, your people. Thank you for the time that we've already been able to sing of our Redeemer. Thank you, Jesus, that you rose from the dead the first day of the week. Thank you for the local church. Thank you for this local church. Thank you for the man of God that you brought here. Father, we know that you still are very, very interested and involved in reaching people through local churches. That's what you had planned. Lord, help us to reach our nation. Father, we know it's the hope is not in the White House, it's here. And churches like this one that preach from your word throughout the country this morning, help preachers, pastors. Father, help me this morning. Cleanse me by your precious blood. Lord Jesus, you know me. You know my weaknesses. You know my flesh. You have the power to overcome my weaknesses, our weaknesses. Help us to focus now. There's so much that can take our minds off of the word. And help me to give what you want for this, your church. In Jesus' name, amen. Luke chapter number 4 and verse number 40. Now, when the sun was setting, all they that had any sick with divers diseases brought them unto him. And he laid his hands on every one of them and healed them. And devils also came out of many, crying out and saying, Thou art Christ, the Son of God. And he, rebuking them, suffered them not to speak, for they knew that he was Christ. And when it was day, he departed and went into a desert place. And people sought him and came unto him and stayed him, that he should not depart from them. And he said unto them, I must preach the kingdom of God to other cities also, for therefore am I sent. And he preached in the synagogues of Galilee. And it came to pass that as the people pressed upon him to hear the word of God, he stood by the lake of Gennesaret and saw two ships standing by the lake. But the fishermen were gone out of them and were washing their nets. And he entered into one of the ships, which was Simon's, and prayed him that he would thrust out a little from the land, and sat down and taught the people out of the ship. Now, when he had left speaking, he said unto Simon, launch out into the deep and let down your nets for a draught. And Simon, answering unto him, Master, we have toiled all the night and have taken nothing. Nevertheless, at thy word, I will let down the net. And when they had this done, they enclosed a great multitude of fishes, and their net brake. And they beckoned unto their partners, which were in the other ship, that they should come and help them. And they came and filled both the ships, so that they began to sink. When Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees, saying, Depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord. For he was astonished, and all that were with him, at the draught of the fishes which they had taken. And so was also James and John, the sons of Zebedee, which were partners with Simon. And Jesus said unto Simon, Fear not, from henceforth thou shalt catch men. And when they had brought their ships to land, they forsook all and followed him. I try to go back in my mind's eye. You know, Pastor had mentioned the fact that I am a Civil War reenactor. And when we do our reenactments, we have to go back in our minds to the 19th century and understand that what we're doing is we are kind of turning the clock back to that time period so that we can understand the mindset, we can understand the context of the Civil War. Unfortunately, a lot of what we're trying to do in some quarters in our country is we're trying to take the 21st century and we're trying to push it into the 19th century. And by doing so, we distort the history. When I look into the scripture, I try to do the same thing. I try to go back 2,000 years so that when we read the scriptures, we try to, at least we should, try to understand not just the context, but the period of and the culture and the circumstance in which Jesus was coming into the lives of the disciples. And he was working, of course, touching base with them for 3 years and getting them trained, getting them to be prepared for the work of the ministry. And at this point in time, Jesus has brought the disciples to probably a little bit over a year where he was touching base with them. They were not yet necessarily with Jesus full time yet. Jesus had begun his relationship with Peter, James, and John about a year earlier, when John the Baptist pointed to Jesus at the River Jordan and said, "Behold, the Lamb of God." There was Andrew and John at the time who were disciples of John the Baptist. When they saw Jesus coming to the baptism after he was tempted 40 days and 40 nights, John the Baptist sees him again and points to the Lord Jesus and said, "There's the Lamb of God." And at that point, Andrew and John begin to follow Jesus. Andrew then thinks of his brother, Peter, and says, "Peter, we have found the Messiah." Of course, Messiah, the anointed one. This is what the Jews were waiting for. They were waiting for the Messiah to come as prophesied in the Old Testament. And in their minds, wow, you know what that means? The Messiah. If he is the Messiah, then our troubles are over. No more Romans. You know, we can finally go back to being the nation that we were before we were taken over by the Roman Empire. We're sick of this. We want to make Israel great again. Okay? Yeah. And so they're thinking politics. They're thinking, let's get that kingdom set up as soon as possible. We're kind of tired of the taxes. And so Jesus comes on the scene. Well, John the Baptist was basically getting them prepared for, wait a minute. Now, you're thinking the politics, you're thinking about, you know, the physical kingdom, but the Messiah who's going to come wants to take over this kingdom. This is the kingdom that he wants to take over. And that was the message John the Baptist was preaching, and guess what? Jesus took that baton and ran with it. And so Jesus is preaching the gospel of the kingdom, makes him repent. That is, you look at your situation spiritually, and you see yourself as God sees you, as a sinner who needs a Savior. And so that message was being preached, and so Jesus begins that relationship with Peter, James, and John, but it was kind of off and on. Jesus, of course, at that goes back to Nazareth as we follow the timeline, and there were some miracles that were performed by the Lord Jesus, the turning of the water into wine, of course, going back to for the Passover and the overturning of the tables and meeting up with Nicodemus and all of the things that happened there. So all of that transpired, and then he goes to Nazareth. He goes back to Nazareth. Remember that at Nazareth, he was rejected. He left Nazareth for the last time and moved down to Capernaum. Guess who was at Capernaum? Peter, James, and John. That's where they lived. That's where they worked. So, you know, even though it seemed like, well, you know, Jesus could not do much in Nazareth, well, Jesus had a plan. You see, you can never thwart the plan of God. Jesus already knew what was going to happen, so he already had a plan. He started a relationship with Peter, James, and John, and now he's going to have an even closer relationship with Peter, James, and John because he's going to move right there where Peter is working as a fisherman full time. So he goes there, and of course, by this time he is preaching. He is in this public ministry. He is healing. Many were getting saved. Many were being healed. Disciples were following, and everywhere where Jesus went, the crowds went with him. So he goes to this busy fishing town, Capernaum, and the crowds come, and the crowds come, and the people come from everywhere. The Bible talks about this in Luke chapter number 4, where it says they were coming. Verse number 40, interesting the way the Bible says this. Verse number 40, now when the sun was setting, okay, usually when the sun is setting, Brother Pinto is also setting, right? Most of us are kind of, you know, calling it a day. We're kind of getting ready for that sleep that we need. But the Bible says, all they that had sick with divers diseases brought them unto him, Jesus, and he laid his hands on every one of them and healed them. So what's the implication is that Jesus would have liked to have gone to bed early too. But here come all the people. And the Bible says all. I circled those words. You know, Jesus has to go by those. Okay. All. Okay. Get in line. Next. Get in line. Next. 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 10 o'clock, 11 o'clock, 12 o'clock. Folks were coming. They were desperate. They wanted to be healed by Jesus. So the Bible says that he healed them all. So I put by that verse, late night. Yeah, had to be a late night for the Savior. And devils also came out of many, crying out and saying, thou art the Christ, the Son of God. And he rebuking them, suffered them not to speak, for they knew that he was Christ. And now why? Because again, the Jewish people were looking for the Messiah. And so the devil is, of course, trying to get Jesus sidetracked and saying, basically, he is the one. He's the one. Okay, set him up. Let's get the kingdom going. But we know he came to seek and to save what? That which was lost. Okay? And we know that in the plan of God, it wasn't the time yet. The time is coming when he will set up the kingdom, praise God. But this was not the time. Well, of course, you know, the devils are good about, just like Satan is good about, diverting us from the goal. And here it was, one of those instances where the demons were trying to get the people stirred up. Well, look at, he's healing. Oh, look at, he's got this power. So let's, you know, he is the Christ. And so the Lord wanted to squelch that and rebuked the spirits. Now look at verse 42. When it was day, he departed and went into a desert place. Now, this is the next morning. He was up late, healing. So he didn't get much sleep. So he gets up early, and he goes into a desert place, into an area where there wasn't any development. This doesn't mean, you know, the Sahara Desert. It just has the idea of it. He's outside the town. He's looking for a place to be alone. Because he knew that sooner or later the folks would get up, and guess what would happen? What would happen? Here they come. The lines start forming, the crowds start gathering. He wanted to spend some time with the Father, and we see that in other places in the Gospels. The people saw him, verse number 42, and came unto him and stayed him, that he should not depart from them. Of course, now the folks see them, find him. They want him to continue healing there where he was at Capernaum. But no, I must go, the Lord Jesus Christ says. I must go and preach the gospel of the kingdom of God, verse number 43. Must go to other cities. And he preached, verse number 44, he preached in the synagogues of Galilee. So why in the synagogues? Because he came unto his own. And as we know, the Bible says, but his own received him not. So his focus was to get the message of the gospel of the kingdom to the Jewish people, help them to see that in order to be part of this kingdom, I need to take over this kingdom, and you need to get right with God. Chapter 5 continues the story, okay? So that's why I kind of read right into that. And it came to pass that as the people pressed upon him to hear the word of God, he stood by the lake of Gennesaret and saw two ships standing by the lake, but the fishermen were gone out of them and were washing their nets. Now picture Jesus is there at Capernaum, right by where Peter, James, and John were just done, okay, with fishing. Any fishermen in here this morning? Or you just love to go out fishing? Okay, a few of you? Okay, there's a science to it, right? I'm not a fisherman, but I understand that there's a science to it. My understanding is fishing, when the water is still, is so much better than when the water is stirred up in the lakes. But in this case, Peter knew at what time to go, thinking that the fish would be coming up probably closer to the surface. But regardless of what the science was, we know for sure that he was out there at night. And he is casting nets out, okay? Not the kind of nets that they do now with the hydraulics, pulling these huge, huge nets, you know, dragging them. And all you have to do is just press a button and... No, none of that. It's you go in almost like a skiff, but it's probably a little much bigger than, just probably bigger than that. And they would cast a net that you would take with your two hands, and you would throw it out with a line, and then you would pull it in. And so this is kind of rough, really. It takes a lot of work type. This is labor intensive, okay? And picture Peter, and this is why I'm talking, mention this reenactment thing, because what I have to do, preacher, as a reenactor, is I've got to really think about this. What it must have been like. And that's what I'm trying to do here, trying to get us to do this morning. What it must have been like. Peter's, you know, he is a good fisherman. He's been doing this for a long time. Most Bible scholars believe he was so good at it that he probably had two places that he lived at. The one in Capernaum, and I've been to Israel, and they do have what remains of what they say is the house of Peter. And probably another one in Jerusalem. To have two homes, you're doing pretty good. And at least, and we know, obviously, that he was, you know, James and John were working for him, so he was able to hire people. So he was doing well with this. He knew how to fish. He knew his business. So he comes. He's back already, and so he all night long going out fishing. Now, those of you that raise your hand, how many of you been ever gone out? You went out fishing. You had everything you needed. You were in the right spot and everything, and you didn't catch anything. Ever have that? Right? And you come from that not feeling too good about it, right? Now, doing that for sport, doing that for fun, you know, it's bad enough. But when you're doing it for a living and you don't catch anything, that's you know, you come from that more than just discouraged. Like I went out to work today and I didn't get anything. And that's the way Peter must have felt that morning. He comes back and of course, well, you know, I went out, went to the spots and nothing. So he comes back. And of course, when you come back, you just can't come back and just hop off the boat and just go to the house and hit the rack. You got to get those nets out, because he threw the nets out, but he probably got a lot of junk in the nets. And when you get a lot of junk and things you don't want, you got to clean it out and all that. That takes time. Okay? I'm from Maine. When the lobstermen, they throw those pots out and they come up with not lobsters, but crabs and junk and other things that they don't want in there. They've got to clean that out, you know, rebait it, put the pot back. You know, it takes time. It's work. And so imagine a net. You know, you pull out those nets and you're cleaning those nets, and not with a hose, right? I don't know how they did it, but it was labor intensive. And my point is that after all this was done, Peter's tired. James and John, tired. Anybody ever work third shift? Okay. You know what these men did? They work third shift. Okay. They're ready to call it a day, even though it hasn't started yet. Okay. They're going back and they're going to go to bed. But in the meantime, Jesus comes into that routine and he shakes it up, doesn't he? He is coming. The crowds are coming right to where he just parked his boat. Nets are clean.
put away, or it's folded or put off to the side. Jesus comes. Of course, the crowds are coming. Peter was used to this, of course. Jesus is drawing the crowds. The crowds are coming, and Jesus is about to speak, but he sees that, he's getting close to the lake, the edge of the lake. And so he says, you know what? I'm going to be practical about this. I'll get in the boat, and I'll be able to, have as many people come up and probably project better to the crowd. And so he gets into the boat, says, Peter, I need to borrow your boat. Gets into the boat, and so he's teaching. And after he's done teaching, the Bible says, he comes to Peter. Now, remember what? I set the scene here. Peter's tired. Peter's done. Peter says, okay, you can use my boat, Lord. I'm done with it. I'm not going to do much until probably next night anyway. Here, go ahead. And so after the crowds have dispersed, I'm wondering if Peter wasn't napping somewhere, at least, off to the side. And so Jesus does something that is kind of crazy, in a sense. He comes to Peter and says, hey, Peter, why don't you go ahead, back in your boat, and launch out into the deep, take your nets for a catch. Can you repeat that, Lord? What? Yeah, go ahead, get that boat back out there, and get your nets out, and you go out to the boat, you're going to have a catch. Now, understand that Peter already had a relationship with the Lord, okay? Not really as close as he had, as he will have. And Jesus is developing a relationship with him. By the way, Jesus wants to develop a relationship with all of us. But you know what he does? He sees our routine. He knows the way we think. And he wants to come into our lives and change it. But what he does first is he comes into our routine, or at least he tries. Right? So he comes into Peter's routine of fishing, and he knows, of course, that Peter fished all night and didn't catch anything. He knows that. He knows that Peter's tired. He knows that Peter is just kind of saying, probably I'm thinking in that I would be thinking this. Go out there for a catch. Master, we have toiled all night and have caught nothing. I was out there, Lord. I went to the spots. I knew. I went to where I knew there would be fish. Lord, trust me. They're not biting tonight. They're not biting. They're not out there. I don't want to go out and get those nets. I just put those nets away. I just cleaned them, and I'm really tired. Now, I know that's not in the King James Bible, but try to think about what's happening on a human level and how you would be thinking if you were in Peter's sandals, okay? Come on. Lord, you don't really mean that, do you? Go back out. But I like what Peter says here. Nevertheless, at thy word, I will let down the net. It seems that at this point we see that Peter was with the Lord enough to realize that maybe I'll defer to him because I should, even though it doesn't make any sense to me. Even though I can't understand why the Lord wants me to go out and waste my time when I'm tired. Amen. And I know what I'm doing. Amen. I've been at this. This is not my first rodeo. I've been at this, Lord. Trust me. Now, I know you're good at carpentry. You're good at building. But I'm really good at fishing. Trust me. Nevertheless, at thy word, maybe Peter was thinking about those miracles that he did in the past. Maybe it was something that Jesus said in some of the teaching and preaching that Jesus did in the synagogues that he was maybe meditating on and getting him to really see Jesus more clearly and what he had in mind.
But the Lord was working, and he said, nevertheless, at thy word I will let down the net. Now, I know there have been messages, you know, well, you know, Jesus said nets, and he let down a net. And it's kind of like the situation with walking on water. You know, there's different applications we can get from that. But this morning, really, honestly, I'm thinking, Brother Jason, that he was willing to go. And think about this now, okay? Nevertheless, I will let down the net. There's the stack of nets. They're all piled there. I don't want to take them all. I'll just take one. And I don't even want to take the one. But I'll do it anyway. So he takes the one. And as he's going to the boat, he's thinking, this is really a waste of time. I don't know why, but I'll do it. But okay. I'm tired, though. I've already done this. So he goes to the boat, of course. No motor, right? Got to get the boat out there. Got to get the net in the boat. You know. Got to get the boat out. What did he say? Launch out into the where, church? Into the deep. It's not like 5 minutes. Okay? No motor. No. Right? It's plenty of time to be thinking, why am I doing this? What a waste of time. I know what's going to happen. Did this all night already. Nevertheless, at thy word. So, as we know, he goes out. He casts the net. And he's out there thinking, well, don't see how this is going to work out. Verse number 6, and when they had this done, they enclosed a great multitude of fishes, and their net brake. And he beckoned unto their partners, which were in the other ship, and that they should come and help them. And they came and filled both ships so that they began to sink. Now, again, let's think on this. Let's meditate on this. He wasn't expecting anything, and he's pulling that lead line, and as he's pulling, he's you know, kind of like when we know we got something on the line, right? We go, oh man, there's something on the line, but for him, it's like, no, this can't be. Hey, what? You know, and he's pulling, and but it's really hard, and he finally gets a grip on the periphery of the net. It is full, and he's going, man, I've got this net is full. So now he's got to pull on it. And as he's pulling, he's realizing there's more in there. And it's, oh man, so of course you get that, he's trying to empty out the net, get the fish in as you're pulling the net up over the edge. And he's pulling, and while he's doing all of that with time, imagine what's running through his mind now. I told him that I went out all night and there was nothing. I wanted him to kind of understand that I knew what I was talking about, but apparently I didn't know what I was talking about. He told me to do this, and I went reluctantly, and now it's like, whoa, and he's pulling them in, he's pulling it in, and the more he pulls it in, the more he feels like, man, what was I thinking when I told him what I told him? You ever do something or say something that you know you shouldn't have said or done? It was dumb, it was stupid. And you're looking for, you know, a crack in the floor. You know, I just. Well, I can imagine that this feeling was growing in Peter's mind and heart when it just got to the place where, man, we need to get another boat over here. Let's get over here. I can't put any more fish in here. It's starting to take in a little water. We need more help. Hey, come on, guys, come over here. And so as they get the fish in, and wait a minute, it's getting to the point where the other boat is getting full too. And all of this because Jesus said, launch out into the deep. And he did, even though he was probably thinking, I'm wasting my time. It's not going to work. He doesn't understand. I've done this already. But what he did was he obeyed the Lord anyway. You see, the Lord comes into our lives, brothers and sisters, and he asks us from time to time to do things that in our mind's eye or our way of thinking, it doesn't make much sense. And even to the point where we're so proud of ourselves and we're thinking, hey, I know what I'm doing. You got to think that Peter, being a professional fisherman, was probably having that same spirit and attitude when he said, Lord, we've toiled all the night and have caught nothing. It's kind of like saying, it's okay. We've already done it. They're not biting tonight. They're not out there. But when he saw all that fish, whoa, I told the master, I told Jesus that there are no fish out here. And apparently he knew something I didn't know. And apparently there's something I don't know that I need to understand about Jesus. And that is he is the Son of God who created the fish. He's the Son of God that made this happen, that filled the net. What else could it be? I mean, there can't be any other explanation. He said, go over there, go out and launch it out in the deep. I thought I was wasting my time. I go out there and all this fish, they're coming in. And it's like, whoa, he made this possible. And I'm telling the God, the Son of God, who makes all things possible, it ain't going to work. I'm telling the Son of God, who created the lake, who created the mountains that surround the Lake of Galilee, the Sea of Galilee, I'm telling him, it's not going to work. And when we think about it, brothers and sisters, it's the Son of God, the God who created it all, that comes into our lives, that asks us to do things, and we treat him like he's the guy next door. We treat him like, no, Lord, I got this. And the Lord says, no, you don't. You really don't. You think you do, but you don't. And do you know who you're talking to? Do you know who you're talking to? And I think for that was the time when he's pulling up, you know, and it took a little time to pull the fish in, okay? So as he's pulling it in, you can think, oh, man, you know what? I can't believe I talked to Jesus like this, like I did. You know, all these fish are coming in. I can't believe he's the one that made this possible. And I told him that it couldn't be done. What was I thinking? I think at this point, Jesus is revealing himself in a very real way to Peter and the disciples. That he's more than just the Messiah, the Christ. He's the Son of God. He is the Son of God. He is in control. Remember the storm, right? The Sea of Galilee, right? And when he quieted the storm, what did they say? Even the winds and the waves obey him. What? They saw that he was the Son of God. Ruler of nature, all creation. And so with that impact in Peter's mind, brothers and sisters, with that impact, okay, let's go back to the chapter. Verse number 8, when Peter saw it, when he saw this miracle, he fell down at Jesus' knees saying, depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord. Probably one of those moments in Peter's life where he was humbled. And sometimes what happens is the Lord has to humble us before he can use us. But the problem with Brother Pinto, preacher, is that Brother Pinto thinks he's got this one. He knows what's good for him. He understands, you know. Lord, I know you want me to give, but I know how to handle finances. Lord, I know you want me to go soul winning. I know you want me to talk to other people, but Lord, I know me,
And really, I'm not good with people, so you understand, right? And the Lord is saying, look, I want you to go out. Even though I want you to go out of your comfort zone. I want you to do something that to you doesn't seem like it makes any sense. It defies maybe even logic. It defies what you're used to. It kind of kicks you out of your routine. But you see, the Lord wants to get us out of our routine. He wants us to get us out of our comfort zone so that we can look to Him and say, Lord, nevertheless, at Thy word, I will. And when we yield to the Lord, and we humble ourselves, and we understand who it is that is asking us to do something, it changes the whole paradigm. It changes everything. God does great things through those of us who depend on a great God that can do exceeding abundantly above all that we can ask or think. But we have to be willing to yield. We have to yield to His word. Nevertheless, at Thy word, I will. You see, Peter could have just continued to argue with Jesus at that point. Could he not? He did for a little bit. Master, we have toiled all the night and have caught nothing. He could have just gone on and on and on and on and on and said, this is why I don't think I'm going to go get the net and I'm not going to waste my time. Lord, maybe if you come with us tonight and I'll go to some specific spots in that I know the fish are going to be there. And I'll show you why now is not a good time. Now, he could have gone through that, but he didn't. He stepped out by faith, really, because he saw as far as he was concerned. Hey, I did it. I tried. And how many of us have tried, right, when it comes to our spiritual walk and the things that the Lord wants us to do? I tried, Lord, and I couldn't. Well, here's Peter saying, I tried and I couldn't. And the Lord is saying at that moment, Peter, you go out for a catch. You go out there for a catch. I don't see how that's going to happen. I just don't see it. But nevertheless, at Thy word, I will. You know, I've tried that, but I just can't. Nevertheless, at Thy word, I will. What is it that the Lord is asking you to do spiritually? Where are you in relationship to just trusting the Lord to do something that He wants you to do, but you're kind of, I'm not sure. I'm not sure that can be done. I'm not sure about, is it just witnessing to somebody? When was the last time you witnessed to somebody? And you say, well, Brother Pinto, I'm really not good at talking to people. Anybody here a people person? You just like talking to strangers. Anybody like that? Raise your hand. Anybody? Okay. Got three weird people. Anybody else? Anybody else? Okay. I'm not one of those. Okay. Praise the Lord for those that have that ability, that personality, right? But for the rest of us, we can just say, well, those brothers, those sisters, they can go out and tell people about Jesus, but I'm just not that kind of person. I'm just not a talker. No. Nevertheless, at Thy word, I will. I'm doing probably the most difficult thing that I personally right now is standing in front of people preaching. It's difficult for me. I'm not a people person. The most scariest thing I had to do in junior high school preacher was I had a teacher who was so mean. She made us do speeches in front of the whole class. And we had to write out what we're going to say. And then I went to high school, I had to do the same thing. And then I went to Christian school and I had a speech teacher that made us do speeches in front of the class. I was nervous. I'm way out of my comfort zone. But you see, if we just say, Lord, I can't do this.
Nevertheless, at thy word I will. And when we go in obedience to the Lord's command, you'll be surprised what the Lord will do. Just like Peter was. Whoa. You see, Peter wouldn't have seen that had he just stayed on shore and said, you know, Lord, I'm tired. Can I get a, you know, like at least 4 or 5 hours of sleep and then we'll go out? Yeah, you know, Lord, can we wait on this? You know, I tried. I've been doing this for a good 30 plus years, Lord. And, well, you know, he could have gone on and on. Nevertheless, at thy word I will. He obeyed by faith, really, even with all the doubts. You know, he goes out and the Lord does a miracle. But look at what, and it says verse 9, he was astonished and all that were with him, of course they would be, right? Holy fish. Couldn't say holy cow because that wouldn't fit here, right? Holy fish. They were astonished. And so also, verse number 10, so was also James and John, the sons of Zebedee, and that were partners with Simon. They never saw this ever before. And this is what Peter, this is what Jesus says. Now notice, fear not, from henceforth thou shalt catch men. Peter, I want you now to go to the next level. You have spent over a year with me. You've seen the miracles. You know who I am. In a very real way, you've seen who I am this morning or this afternoon, whenever this took place. And now I'm asking you to do something you've never done before. I want you to be after men like I have been after men. You've seen me preach, Peter. You've seen me in the synagogues. You've seen me in other cities. You've seen me. You've heard. You've seen the crowds. You've seen they're coming. They're coming to be healed. They're coming, of course, to be healed. But as they come to be healed, they hear the message of the gospel of the kingdom. And I want you to be part of that. And the Bible says they left all and followed him. You know what happened? Peter just stepped out to be with Jesus after men. He left his fishing business. He had his fishing business for over a year of Jesus' public ministry. But now Jesus has brought him to a point where now he's going to make a huge decision now. I am leaving my full-time job. And Jesus says, fear not. Don't let that bother you. Oh, how many of us would feel real insecure about leaving our jobs? But that's my bread and butter. I've got family to, you know. And I'm not saying that Lord's calling everybody to do that, but I'm just saying whatever level it is that the Lord is calling us to do next, it's going to be outside what we're used to. It's going to be outside our comfort zone. But if we remember in our hearts who it is that's calling us, it really makes a difference about our obedience. You see, Jesus had already demonstrated that he's the Son of God. Can you imagine the creator of the universe coming to us and calling us to do something? You know what, brothers and sisters? He has. Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. That came from the creator of the universe. He is calling us to do that. Fear not about that. But the problem is, Brother Pinto starts thinking about, but I'm not really good at talking to strangers. That really makes me feel very insecure.
I'm the kind of guy that I could sit in a bus, I could sit in a subway car, I could go through a big city and do like all the other city folk. Don't look at anybody. Look down at the sidewalk. Look down at the street. Right? Don't make any eye contact with strangers. God forbid. Right? And if you do, it's for a split second. No, don't look at him. No, don't look at her. Right? And in a crowd, brother, that's really the way I am. But Jesus came to seek and to save that which was lost. Jesus made eye contact with people. Jesus took the time. He was healing. Remember, we were reading that earlier, right? Way into the night, Jesus is not wasting any time. But you know what? When we read this account, Jesus is God in the flesh. He's a man. He can't be everywhere at that point, right? So he's... The laborers are what? They're few. This is the point in the ministry of Christ when he finally says to Peter and those James and John, fear not, thou shalt catch men. Come and follow me. There's other passages of scripture in the other gospels, Matthew and specifically. When I read through that passage, I look at the passage in Luke, and it like, wow, no wonder they left their nets. You know, it wasn't like all of a sudden, you know, they're... that Jesus came by and says, come follow me, and they left their job just like that. No, it was, they had a relationship with the Lord, was in touch with them for a year. But then he demonstrates his deity, his power. He's been healing. But it's all centered around a message of repentance, letting Jesus come into your heart. Let him be the king of your life. And so he says, Peter, you're going to do something that you never did before. Just like you, when you went out there and caught all those fish, it wasn't you, was it? No, Lord, it wasn't me. If it was up to me, I wouldn't have gone out. But I went out because you told me to go out, and all of a sudden that's the same way it's going to be, Peter, when you go out to catch men. You're not a preacher, Peter. You're a fisherman. You're not a people person, Peter. In fact, a lot of times you kind of get, you know, foot caught in your mouth, and you speak out before you think. It's okay, Peter. You fear not. I'm going to use you to catch men. Regardless of what your personality is, regardless of what your weaknesses and strengths are, you know what God is saying to us? He's saying, I want to use you anyway. I want to be the one to catch men through you. You see, when you take out that track, or however you get the gospel out, remember, God wants to work that through you. He wants to use you. He wants to use me. And he said, if we just do like Peter and say, nevertheless, at thy word, I will, guess what happens? The Lord does the rest. The Lord does the rest. We don't have to be good speakers. We don't have to have, you know, a bubbling personality that, no, we don't have to have any of that. All we have to do is have an obedient spirit and say, Lord, nevertheless, at thy will, at thy word, I will. How about your Bible reading life? How about your prayer life? How many of us need an improvement in that area? I do. The Lord has asked us to do it. And we can have all, yeah, Lord, but, yeah, but, yeah, but, yeah, but, right? But instead, why don't we, like Peter, say, nevertheless, at thy word, I will. Finances, nevertheless, Lord, I know you want me to give the missions. I don't see how it's going to happen. The money's not there. But nevertheless, Lord, at thy word, I will. And then guess what happens? The Lord does it. It doesn't make any sense. If I give, I don't know how I'm going to pay all my bills at the end of the month. I've got a big bill coming. Lord, I have a big bill coming. I only make so much money an hour. Nevertheless, at thy word, I will. And then all of a sudden, the Lord just does the miraculous. The miraculous doesn't come with excuses. It comes with obedience. to what the Lord is calling us to do. We know what happens. Book of Acts. Guess what? 3,000 people got saved the day of Pentecost. Jerusalem, of all places, where Jesus was crucified. Can we say that Jerusalem did not want Jesus after the crucifixion? Or during the crucifixion and shortly after? Yeah. And guess what the Lord says? I want you to go to Jerusalem. Go to Jerusalem. Yeah, go to Jerusalem. Well, that's what happened. They went. They were scared. Peter didn't know. You know, remember Peter denied the Lord. Then he goes and he's preaching. And the Bible says he stood up and he preached. We're talking about a fisherman who denied the Lord out of fear. But guess what happened? He was filled with the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit was controlling him. And now, he remembers that phrase, fear not, thou shalt catch men. And how many got saved after Peter was done preaching? How many? Anybody remember? Yeah, 3,000 plus, right? Fear not, Peter, thou shalt catch men. But I'm not a preacher. Fear not, thou shalt catch men. But I'm not a people person. Fear not, thou shalt. Well, and so the Lord demonstrates his power in something that's more significant. People getting saved. People getting their lives changed through the Lord Jesus Christ. And guess who God is using? He's using average people like Peter, James, and John. These are not Bible college students. These are not professional speakers. These are not evangelists. They're none of those things. They're just like all of us, our average people. You know who God wants to use to save America? Average Bible-believing people who are just saying, nevertheless, at thy word I will. Nevertheless, at thy word I will. We're thinking, well, if we just put the right president in the White House. And the Lord is kind of actually looking for the submissive children in the church house that he wants to use to impact the United States of America. We need that right now. He wants to use us. That's very humbling. That he wants to use me. He knows me. And I'm thinking, preacher, he knows me like nobody knows me, and he still wants to use me. That's humbling. And he wants to use you. It doesn't matter how old you are. It doesn't matter how young you are. You say, well, Brother Pinto, you know, I don't have the, you know, I'm not the young guy or the young lady I used to be. And well, I'm not either. But I say, Lord, help me. And the Lord comes through. Let's be sensitive to the Lord's will. God sent his man here. And you know what he wants? He wants us now to grow. Ephesians 4, mature, perfecting the saints, Ephesians 4, for the work of the ministry. That's what this is all about. We come, the man of God matures us through the preaching and the teaching of the word of God so that we can go out and impact lives around us that he will never reach. How many of us have somebody, a neighbor, a loved one, a co-worker that you can speak to about Jesus? How many have somebody like that? Okay? A lot of you do. Okay? He gave pastors, evangelists to the church. That's a different study, but Ephesians 4. For the perfecting of the saints, that means the idea of maturing, for the work of the ministry. What is that work? Go and preach the gospel to every creature. That's what America needs right now, now more than ever. And we have a powerful God, an all-powerful God. The Lord Jesus Christ says, and lo, what did he say? I am with you always. That's a special promise to people who go out and tell others about him. Let's do it. Let's do it. Let's do it knowing that Jesus said, if I go out, I will, through his power, I will catch somebody. I will catch somebody for Jesus. You will catch men. Jesus didn't say, maybe, Peter, maybe. Why don't you come with me and, you know, no. All those fish, right? He's pulling them up. Guess what? Day of Pentecost. 3,000 fish. 3,000 plus souls. You will catch. But it all started with Peter saying, nevertheless, at thy word, I will. Let's yield to the Lord. Yield to him this week. You know, it's a still small voice, right? Still small voice. Hey, give that person a track. How many times have I gotten out of my car to go to a restaurant? And the Holy Spirit says, hey, you forgot something. I know, Lord, but I locked the car. Okay, I got in. No, you forgot something. Or sometimes I'll sit down at the table. Waitress or waiter comes over, takes my order. And the Holy Spirit says, did you forget something? Yes, I did. But Lord, I'm already in here. I sat down. Well, go back out. Get that track. See, it just starts with a still small voice. Oh, but I don't know how they'll react if I tell them or if I give them a track. Don't. Nevertheless, at thy word, I will. Let's be sensitive to the Spirit. Father, thank you for these, your people. I pray that you'll help. Lord, I pray that you'll help me. Help us, Father, to realize that your power is demonstrated when we're obedient. Your power is ready for those who just yield. Help us to be clean vessels. Help us to be yielded vessels as believers. Lord Jesus, there's so much that we need to understand about you. But what we know about you is you are the Son of God. You are the one who came and died on a cross in our place. And you're beseeching us to present our bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto you, which is our reasonable service. Lord, help us to realize, because of your mercy, because you created us, you have the right of first place. With heads bowed and eyes closed, how many this morning would say, Brother Pinto, if I were to die today, this afternoon, I know for sure that I would go to heaven. Would you be willing to raise your hand right now as a testimony? I know for sure. If I were to die today, I know for sure I'd go to heaven. Would you be willing to raise your hand as testimony? Would you be willing to raise your hand? I know that I'd go to heaven if I were to die tonight, today, this afternoon. Thank you. You may lower your hands. How many believers this morning would say, Brother Pinto, the Lord has spoken to me in a specific area where I need to be like Peter and say, nevertheless, at thy word, I will. There's an area in my life that I need to yield to the Lord to. Pray for me. Anybody like that? You'd be willing to raise your hand. Pray for me. Anybody like that? Anybody like that? Amen. Amen. God bless you. God bless you. With heads bowed, eyes closed, let's stand. I'm going to pray right now for those believers. Father, Lord, you saw the hands of those believers that you've spoken to. Lord, there's a specific area. You know what it is. Lord, I pray that you'll help them. Help me. Father, there are so many areas that I need to keep yielding to you. I need to keep yielding and yielding and yielding to you and just be obedient and say, nevertheless, at thy word, I will. Even if it doesn't make sense, even though I may have doubts, I may have all kinds of reasons in my mind why I shouldn't, but yet, Lord, help me to be yielded and step out by faith, obeying your word. Help these that have raised their hand. Father, help us. Our nation is dying around us and needs salt and light. Help us to be salt and light, Father. With heads bowed and eyes closed as the piano plays softly, the altar is open. I'm not sure what type of invitation that you are used to, but let me encourage you, believer, if you have raised your hand, the Lord has spoken to you about a specific area where you need to yield, would you come? Would you come right now and just spend some time with the Lord? There are chairs here that you can come and pray. You can, of course, the steps here. Why don't you come right now and just spend a little bit of time saying, Lord, work in me in this area. There are several believers that have raised their hand this morning. I pray for you now. Why don't you come and spend some time just praying, saying, Lord, help me in this area. The altar's open. Let me encourage you to respond to the Spirit of God. Respond to the Spirit of God. Respond to the Word of God. This is not a show time. Everyone should have their heads bowed, their eyes closed. This is not to see who's coming or who's not coming. Just come if the Lord's spoken to you about a specific area. If you've not come, let me encourage you to come now. Perhaps you have not raised your hand, but you know the Lord's dealing with you in a specific area. Let me encourage you also to respond to the Spirit of God. The altar's still open. Let's be sensitive to the Holy Spirit of God. Maybe you've not come, but you can come now. Maybe you don't know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior. Let me encourage you to speak to someone before you leave. We're not going to make it public. What we want to do is encourage you to make that decision for Christ. If you're not sure, let me encourage you to speak to someone. You might want to come down now and speak to Pastor or one of us here. If the Holy Spirit is speaking, He's speaking in a still small voice. He's not yelling and screaming, but you know He's speaking. If He is speaking to your heart and you know you need to come, let me encourage you to yield to the Spirit like Peter did. Nevertheless, at Thy word, I will. Why don't you come? Be like Peter. Respond to the Spirit of God.
About it is it's a matter of getting out of yourself. Listen, some of you know me, and this is not me right here. After the Sunday school hour, I'd want to run and hide into the woods because I'm not a preacher, I'm not a pastor. In my mind, that's not me. I'm not a people person, just like Brother Pinto said. That's not me. I could go sit in the side of a restaurant, nobody talk to me, I'd be just fine. I'd be just fine.
Yep.
I'd go to church, nobody talk to me, I'd be just fine. It wouldn't bother me one bit, no hurt feelings, I wouldn't be sad if nobody talked. That's just my personality. But God desires for us to get out of who we are.
Amen.
Because if we're out of who we are, that means then God's doing it.
Amen.
But if we're doing it because of who we are, then it means we're doing it and not God.
Amen.
Yep. So I encourage you, I appreciate the message that we would get out of ourselves. Listen, today's the 11th, correct? The 12th. Today's the 11th. So yesterday, we've only been here 4 months. My wife and daughter, 4 months. We ain't been here very long. I got a lot of ideas in my head. But I can't do it by myself. I can't do it by, it's impossible for me to do it by myself. I appreciate the Cobles and outreach that they have up there at Homestead on Wednesday. That's a blessing. I'd like to do more of those types of things, of getting the Word of God out, getting tracts out. Brother, I know exactly what you're talking about, walking in a restaurant, getting out of the car, and the Holy Spirit saying, hey, you got some tracts, put them in your pocket. I go out for my walk, put some tracts in your pocket. Brother, I don't know about you, brother, but there's been times where I haven't done it, and somebody's come up, and you're like,
oh, I wish I would have a track right now. So, take heed to what the Lord put forward this evening. If God's dealing with your heart about ministry, I'm not talking about full-time ministry, but God's put on something in your heart about something to do, do it. Ask me if you need help with it, and as a church, we'll get behind it to get the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ out. And Lord willing, over the next couple of weeks and months, I'll be putting forth some more ideas that I have. Some people have asked me some things, just to try to get the gospel out to our community here and around the world. I got a heart for missions. I know I ain't been talking about it lately because I'm trying to get some other things settled, but we've already, some money's already been put aside in the missions account. If you want to give the missions, put it in there to save for missions. We're building up those funds there. I got some ideas for missions. So there's a lot here, and here that I'd like to do as a church. It's just going to take some time, but we need to be in prayer about it as we try to get the gospel of Jesus. And asking God, what can you do for the Lord Jesus Christ? Let's go ahead, and I want to close with a hymn, if you'd stand. What page is Work for the Night? Work for the Night is coming, brother. What page is this? Off the top of your head. Give me a second. 639 in the blue hymn book. We're going to sing this last song and it will be dismissed. Work for the Night is Coming. Page number 639. If you can stand as we sing this last hymn. Amen. The baskets again back to for Brother Pinto. Love y'all. Lord willing, see you tonight.